Hello, this is Pastor Ryan Clark. You are listening to a message from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, over the last several weeks, we've been going through our sermon series, Good to His Word, looking at God's promises that He's made us. And boy, has He made us a lot of really amazing promises. And the first step to us trusting in those promises is that we got to know them, right? And so that's what we've been doing over the last several weeks. Just where we've been thus far. The first week, we looked at God's amazing promise that He says that He will listen to everyone of our prayers, because Jesus, it says in Ephesians, took us who were far away and brought us close to Him again through His blood. And because of that, He hears every one of our prayers. And then Pastor Ryan on the second week showed us how God promises in Romans 8:28 to work all things for our good. Somehow, some way, even the worst things that happen to you and to me, God is going to somehow twist them around, turn them around, so that there will be a blessing in it for us. And then last week, we looked at how God promises to return soon. Jesus is coming again to make everything new. And as I said last week, in order to talk about this week and the next 2 weeks, we've got like a sermon series inside of a sermon series. We're looking at the fall feasts, the fall Jewish feasts, and how each one of them point to specific promises that God has made to us. Last week, we looked at the Feast of Trumpets at Rosh Hashanah. And today, in our second part of our sermon series, inside of a sermon series, we're going to be looking at Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement. And in order to help us with that, I'd invite David to come forward and to share with us. Thank you, David.
And shalom in Jesus, our Prince of Peace. So this morning, I've already mentioned a couple of Hebrew words, but I'm going to have you practice with me a little bit during my message. And so I want to give you a Hebrew greeting, which is Lashana Tova. And that's for a good year, because it's the Jewish New Year, as Pastor Clark mentioned in his message last week. So can you practice after me? Let's say Lashana Tova together. Lashana Tova. Great. So it's the Feast of Trumpets, or Rosh Hashanah, during the Jewish New Year. And whether you know it or not, it's year 5786 in the Jewish calendar. 5786. So it's 5,786 years since the creation of the world, according to Jewish tradition. So while our Gregorian calendar is based on the sun, a solar calendar, the Jewish calendar is a lunar-based calendar. And so there are two Jewish calendars in the Jewish year, in a year. Just like for us, there's New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, which is a new year. Then we have a school year, and then we have a fiscal year. Well, in the Jewish calendar, there are also two new years. One is the month of Tishri, and we are currently in the month of Tishri. And Tishri sets the order of the Jewish feasts. Pastor Clark mentioned that last week as well. So in the fall, we have Rosh Hashanah, and we have Yom Kippur, which I'll be talking about. And then we also have the Feast of Tabernacles that Pastor Ryan will be speaking about next Sunday. But Tishri is not only sets the order for the Jewish feasts, It also marks the anniversary of creation, and it's a memorial, memorialization of the Exodus and celebration from Egypt. So Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and the Feast of Tabernacles all happen in the fall. And they are, all of these feasts, all seven of them, are recorded in Leviticus 23. These feasts and the Sabbath itself were times of sacred assembly or holy convocation. The Hebrew word for this, and you get another practice of your Hebrew, is moed. Can you say moed with me? Moed. So I'm going to tell you something about moed that I hope you'll take away this morning, because this is what I did not learn in confirmation. Moed is God's gift to his people. It is a gift from God. And you might not have known about it until today, but it's a good takeaway. One thing about Moed and why God, even on Mount Sinai, told his people, I want you to do Moed once a week, and I want you to do it at seven strategic points of the year, is I want you to be able to rest. I want you to be able to rest physically. He created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. Even God himself did that. And so he gave us the Sabbath as an opportunity to rest, whether that's Saturday, Sunday, Friday, whatever it is, an opportunity to rest physically. Another gift and aspect of Moed is it's an opportunity to reset, be reset spiritually. Now, you could have been watching the Viking game this morning. I mean, there's all kinds of things that you could have been doing this morning, but you said no. You didn't even know it, but you said, no, I want to be able to meet in Moed, in sacred assembly and holy convocation. I want to be able to rest physically, and I want to be reset spiritually. Moed is a gift from God. So just like any other New Year's celebration, Rosh Hashanah is a festive event. And you do things like you dip apples in honey, you eat honey cakes. All kinds of special treats are laid out for Rosh Hashanah to usher in a sweet new year. And of course, New Year's for any tradition, anybody's tradition, would be a time of celebration. But part of the aspect of it for Jewish people is Rosh Hashanah also ushers in a very solemn season called the Days of Awe. And during the Days of Awe, and I'll mention this a couple of times, it's a time of introspection, a time of restitution, a time of prayer and repentance. And what you're trying to do during that time is make yourself right with other people and with God. So in his message last week, Pastor Clark mentioned one of the chief purposes of blowing the shofar, which I did, and it didn't sound exactly like a wounded moose. It gets your attention. There's several aspects of the shofar. It represents God's provision, Abraham providing a ram in substitute for Abraham's son Isaac on the altar. It's a call to war, as Pastor Clark mentioned. It's a call to worship. It's a call to repentance, to battle. There's all kinds of purposes of the blowing the shofar. But the one that I wanted to focus on here this morning is the aspect of repentance. And Pastor Clark mentioned that last week. So during the 8 days of Awe, it culminates in the holiest day of the Jewish calendar, which is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. So back to your Hebrew lesson. Okay, so Yom, say Yom. Kippur, Kippur. Yom means day. And Kippurah means to cover. So it's the day of covering. Yom Kippur, the day of covering or the day of atonement. And so during these 10 days of awe, Jewish people, as I said, are trying to do everything possible. And this is worldwide, everything possible to make things right between themselves and God and other people. In fact, my social media is starting to blow up right now because people are posting You know, like, if I've done anything wrong to you in the last year, you know, please let me know. I want to make it right. Just doing everything possible to make sure that things are all clear and okay with everybody and okay with God. And so in ancient times, Yom Kippur, in the book of Leviticus, this is where the high priest would enter the Holy of Holies and to offer sacrifices on behalf of the sins of the people. And so first of all, he would go into the Holy of Holies. And by the way, only he was allowed into the Holy of Holies. In fact, the high priest would have a rope tied around his ankle so that if he fainted or died in the Holy of Holies, they could pull him out and wouldn't have to go in there, because if you entered the Holy of Holies, you were toast. I mean, it was over. So the high priest is entering the Holy of Holies to make sacrifice on behalf of the sins of the people. And so he would sacrifice a bull for his sin and the sins of his household. And then he took two goats. One was sacrificed to the Lord, and the other was a scapegoat. And after placing his hands on the head of the scapegoat, the high priest confessed over it all the sins of the people, and then it was driven outside of the camp, carrying the sins of the people. Now, at the beginning of the days of awe, there's also a tradition, a Jewish tradition of Tashlit. And can you say Tashlit? Tashlit. Tashlit means to cast, okay? So it's like a pitcher throwing a fastball, okay? So to cast, and I'm going to show you a little video clip. My friend went to Tashlit at San Francisco Bay on Tuesday, the day of Rosh Hashanah, to begin the days of awe. So that's the Jewish community, part of the Jewish community in San Francisco with Tashlit on Rosh Hashanah. And Tashlit means to cast off, to cast. And so Jewish people would gather during that to begin usher in the days of awe by casting, going to a moving body of water, like a river. You do, probably the Jewish community were doing it, the Mississippi River or one of the rivers around here or the ocean or whatever. And then cast breadcrumbs out onto the water, and that would be representative of what, of God, of us casting our sins, God casting our sins away from us, as is mentioned in the and referenced in the book of Micah. So both the scapegoat and Tashlit provide images of what God does with our sin through his atonement, through his covering. In the scapegoat, we see the sins of the people being driven out of the camp, never to be seen again. In Tashlit, we see our sins being cast off into the depths of the sea. Another great visual for this is our sins are separated as far as the east is from the west. And as my teacher once told me, east never meets west. So it's impossible for it to ever come back. So God removes our sin. He covers them, never to be seen again. Now, the reason why atonement or the covering is essential is because it's a reparation for wrong. It's for all the mistakes all of us make. You know, talking to the children this morning, we all make mistakes. We know it. And the result of these mistakes, this sin, is a separation from a holy God, both physical death, as stated in Genesis, for dust you are and dust you will return, but also in a spiritual sense, because the results are a separation between us and God. So brothers and sisters, we know that the only remedy for this separation between us and God is a blood sacrifice. Blood is the currency for atonement. Blood is the currency for and the covering for our sins. It's essential. So since the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD, there have been no more sacrifices. no shedding of blood for atonement. Now, in modern times, Jewish people attempt to atone for their sins through repentance, posting on social media, please help me make it right. I want to be all right with everybody. And it can be through prayer, through good deeds, benevolent causes. Jewish community is very involved in philanthropic efforts like hospitals and libraries and museums and all of that. And it's all an attempt to do the best that they can to make sure that the things are right, to strap up those bootstraps and make sure that everything is right between themselves and God. And so even on Yom Kippur, the holiest day in the Jewish calendar, you would stay home from work. You would stay home from school. You would pray. You would fast. In fact, with apologies to longtime Minnesota Twins fans, Hall of Fame pitcher Sandy Koufax even sat out game one of the 1965 World Series in observance for Yom Kippur. So at the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, there's also a tradition that God opens up two books during the days of awe. One of them is the Book of Life, and that contains the names of everybody who is righteous. And then there's also another book that's opened up, and that's the names of everybody who is wicked. And so during the days of awe, one of the greetings that you would give each other, if you were in the Jewish community, may you be inscribed. May you be inscribed in the Book of Life. And so that effort during the 10 days of awe is, oh, hopefully I'm going to be able to be inscribed in the Book of Life. I'm going to get everything right. I'm going to make sure that I've dotted every I and crossed every T, so that at the end of the days of awe at Yom Kippur, those books, according to Jewish tradition, are closed until the following year. And the thing about it is that people have no idea after Yom Kippur and those books have been closed whether their names are written in the Book of Life or not. No idea. There's no hope. And even a Jewish funeral is one of the saddest things in the world. Because when a Jewish person dies, they have absolutely no idea whatsoever of what happens beyond this life. In fact, that's why they're so interested in making things right in this world. And there's a Jewish phrase, tikkun olam, which means to heal the world. And that is that you do everything possible to make sure that you're a good person and make things right between God and man and make this world a better place, because that's the only thing you have to live for. There's nothing beyond this life. And that's why Jewish people so desperately need to hear the good news of the gospel. So at the end of the Yom Kippur, as I said, these books are closed. They have no idea. No matter what they've done, no matter how much acts of restitution, good deeds, repentance, prayer, fasting, there's no idea if their sins have been covered or not. Then they have no idea what's going to happen when they die. And so what's the problem? The problem is that there hasn't been any currency exchange in payment for sin. So their efforts, though well-intended, fall woefully short. Blood must be shed. So now the good news is the good news of the gospel. Because God's plan has always been to save us. God's plan has always been to save us. An ultimate sacrifice was needed to bear the sins of the world, sent by God to shed blood for a new covenant. Now, 600 years before Jesus walked the earth, the prophet Jeremiah wrote, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. So knowing that he was about to be handled over to the Roman authorities to be tried, sentenced, and crucified, Jesus, while celebrating the Passover with his disciples in the upper room, took the cup and said, "This is the covenant in my blood, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." His disciples didn't fully understand what Jesus was saying. Like the rest of the Jewish people of their day and many Jewish people today, they misunderstood Messiah's purpose. Though they believed that Jesus was Son of God and given up everything to follow him, they didn't understand why he had to die. It was for atonement. The price for our sin has been paid for through the ultimate sacrifice, the shed blood of Jesus the Messiah, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Just as God had provided a ram in the thicket for Abraham so that Isaac wouldn't be sacrificed, God provided his own son to be the final sacrifice to make atonement for the sins of Israel and for all of mankind. He knew that we were unable to pay the penalty for our sin. So through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, we have in Jesus what God did for us. God provided for us what we could never, ever provide for ourselves, atonement for sin. J.I. Packer wrote in his book, Your Father Loves You, "The presentation of the death of Christ as a substitute exhibits the love of the cross more richly, fully, gloriously, and glowingly than any other account of it. Luther saw this and gloried in it. He once wrote to a friend, 'Learn to know Christ and him crucified. Learn to sing to him, Lord Jesus, you are my righteousness. I am your sin. You have taken upon yourself what is mine and given me what is yours. You became what you were not so that I might come what I was not.'" When Jesus died on the cross, two events confirmed God's acceptance of this kippurah, this covering, that atonement. First of all, the sky darkened, the earth shook, the rocks broke open, and the dead came out of their graves and went into the city of Jerusalem. Oh, whoa. Second, the curtain in the Holy of Holies, which nobody was to go in, was torn top to bottom to signify that God had opened a way into his presence. Both events were not only an awesome display of God's power, but clearly demonstrated it is finished. Another important fact about Yom Kippur, the Yom Kippur sacrifice, the covering, is that the people didn't have to do anything for their atonement. The high priest made one sacrifice on behalf of the sins of his covenant people, the Israelites, and the proselytes, the foreigners who dwelt among them. By faith, all received the benefit of the sacrifice that was made on their behalf. And likewise, under the new covenant, promised through Jeremiah and fulfilled in Jesus, The God's atonement is not something that we can earn. It's a free gift available to everyone who has faith in Jesus. Now, most people haven't received this free gift. They don't have the covering, and there's no hope. But we who believe in Jesus know that this is how it happens. This is how we receive the covering. God doing for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. And we have this hope, this blessed hope that's described so clearly in the book of Hebrews. We have this hope as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf and has become a high priest forever. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Lashana Tova. Happy New Year. Our sins are forgiven. We're covered. Our names are inscribed in the Book of Life. Let's keep sharing this great news with a world that desperately needs it. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a sermon from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. If you would like more information about St. John's and any of our ministries to our community and beyond, you can go to our website, www.stjohnsbuffalo.org. Thank you, and God bless you.